I'm going to read this morning from John chapter 10, starting at verse 11, or verse 10. And Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man who runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." And God will bless his word to us. You know, when I was looking at this, I was amazed at how many references throughout the Bible there are about sheep and aligning people to sheep. And I thought to myself, I can barely believe it, but and I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes this morning, but it gets worse, George, doesn't it? Yeah. But yeah, he's saying, "You must be joking." Yeah, you must be joking. Oh. Oh dear. But there are so many references to people and sheep. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, "We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And then the famous passage in Isaiah chapter 53, "We all like sheep have gone astray." And Jeremiah 50, there's a classic, "My people have been lost sheep, left to roam." So there's this whole thing of individuals being like sheep, and if we're left to our own devices, we roam, we go astray, we don't fulfill the potential that God has for each one of us. And in Ezekiel chapter 34, God speaks and he says, "Due to the lack of good shepherds, God himself promises to become the shepherd." And you know, I believe that as we look around the world and we see the mess that is out there, the one thing that it's crying for is for leadership, for somebody to lead and to give direction, because we're not getting any. There's no real leadership out there. We don't seem to have the sort of Churchillian leadership, even in governments today. Everybody has not got a clue what to do. We have summits and councils, but there's no direction. There's no leadership. There's nothing that is positive coming across. And I believe that there's a void there. And that the mess that's around us is because the church hasn't stepped into the void and given the world the leadership that it needs. And I believe that as we look at this passage today, that God calls you in the place that he has put you for you to become a shepherd to the people that he's put you amongst. Whether that be your neighbours or people at school or college or in your place of work. God looks for you to take that place of leadership and to act in the way that a good shepherd would. Because otherwise, you know, the church can stand around and criticise and complain at what's going on in the world around us. But unless we actually act and do something about it, it won't get any better. And that's why he's called us to be the church. And I'm convinced that the church has to rise up to shepherd the people of the area. And that means stopping and asking God, "Lord, how do we do it? How do we make this real in the area that you have put us in? How can we become the shepherds of the people?" And that's where it's tuning in to hear God's voice Not taking the latest idea that works in South America or Korea, but asking God, God, how do you want us to shepherd the people of this area of Salford? What's on your agenda? What are the keys so that they might know there is a good shepherd? And I believe that if we seek God, he will speak. And again, in the Bible, kings and rulers are often referred to as shepherds. And yet, shepherds in the Bible had a low position. So it seems crazy that, you know, a king and a ruler who's at the top of the pile would then be referred to as a shepherd who's seen as unclean and often treated as unclean and outside of religious ritual. And yet it was to shepherds when the Saviour was born that the angel spoke and said, I bring you good news of great joy. Why? Because God goes for the poor and for the lonely. In John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd because we need a shepherd. People need a shepherd because they're lost, they're wandering. And that's why society's in a mess, because nobody's shepherding them. You know, everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. There's no right and wrong anymore. It's whatever people think. And that's why we need a shepherd who's decisive and clear. Jesus is the good shepherd. But Hebrews 13 says, he's the great shepherd. Not just a good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And then Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he goes another step and he says, he's the chief shepherd. The King of Kings, who, as we've already heard, becomes the lowly one so that he might shepherd us. Because we need a shepherd. People need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. You know, sheep are the only animals on the earth that need a shepherd. They need looking after. They need somebody to tend them. And in the church back home, there's an old boy there, and I was chatting to him last week because his job is a shepherd. He goes out onto the hills and that, and he looks after sheep on them. And what he doesn't know isn't worth knowing. He's in his 70s now. He's done it as man and boy. And, you know, you talk to them and you find things out. Well, why do sheep need a shepherd? Why? Number one, because sheep are timid. They're fearful and they're easily panicked. You only have to go near them and shout mince horse and they all run, right? And they scarper, right? They soon panic. Something goes wrong and they panicked. They're dumb. They're stupid. They're a dumb animal. They're gullible, right? I remember working in Saudi Arabia and it was slaughter day. And this guy got hold of the sheep, lifted up by its back legs and walked the chief sheep in. And all the others followed it in. He didn't have to do anything else. So they're all going to go and get the throat cut. They're thick. And yet, God relates you and me to sheep. Now, I'm not saying you're thick. Maybe gullible and easily led. But that's how sheep are. That's why they need a shepherd. And why we need to watch out. The third thing is with sheep, they're easily influenced. And that's because they're thick. So they get influenced. They never weigh things up around. A friend of mine down in Cornwall, when it was the flood season and he's got a stream running through, sheep don't like fast running water. And the sheep fell into the water and drowned. And the other sheep looked at it and said, oh, that's a good idea. Let's jump in. So they started to jump in. He lost 8 sheep. Why? Because they're thick. They're easily influenced. They see another sheep in the water, so they all think to jump in. They're easily influenced by mob psychology. So if one sheep does something, they all do it. I was watching some in a field at my friend's house and one sheep jumps up in the air and the one behind it jumps. There's nothing there. But they jump up in the air. And you think, what for? It's just because they're easily influenced. But they're also a jealous animal. And they're competitive for dominion. They have little discernment in choosing good food and water. That's why they need a good shepherd who will lead us by still waters. Because here's the other thing. They need a shepherd to take them to still waters. Because sheep can't drink from fast running water. Because the nose is so near the mouth that if the water's bubbling up, it'll go up the nose and it can drown the sheep. So it has to take, the shepherd has to take them by still water and into green pastures. They're stubborn. I told you people were like sheep. We're stubborn, aren't we? Don't tell me what to do. I've got my own way. I'll do it my own way. We're stubborn. And we even resist the influence of the good shepherd upon us. There's one for the boys. They don't like to be cleaned or sheared. I remember helping my friend down in Cornwall dipping his sheep. Oh man, it was hard work. And they didn't like it one little bit. My friend the shepherd, he says, we don't have to do that anymore. We just put a spray down the back and it sorts it all out. But they don't like to be cleaned or sheared, but they need to be. They get into ruts and they're vulnerable to pests. They get hungry and they're fearful. They're nearsighted and stubborn. And we can see these characteristics of sheep within our own lives. How many times has God told you something and you've resisted because, I don't want to do that, God. Well, probably not you, but maybe the person next to you. You know. I mean, but we can resist God in different ways because we become stubborn and we get set in our ways and we want to do it this way. And if God does something new, we don't like it because it's not the way we used to. So we're like sheep. We get stuck in our ways. And it affects us. And in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, people are like sheep without a shepherd. That's why they're doing what they do. And I believe that the church has got to rise up to lead and feed people. Yet to lead and feed people, we need to be people who are under the chief shepherd. And we're being led and fed. And that's why the good shepherd comes. And out of all livestock on planet Earth, sheep need the most care. I was amazed at that. Sheep need more care than any other creature. They have no homing instincts. You know, you hear stories about cats and dogs finding the way home when their owners have moved and somehow they've got an instinct to get there. But not sheep. They get lost. And that's why the good shepherd says, he leaves the 99 and goes in search for the one that's lost to carry it back home. Because on its own, it's got no way to get back. Aren't you glad the good shepherd comes looking for people? That he comes after you and for me. The sheep need to be found. And I believe that's the great need in the world today. They need this to be found and to know that there is a God who wants to take care of them. That he's not a God who comes in with rules and regulations, but that he's a God who's for them, who's interested in them, who wants to shepherd them and to protect them and keep them safe because he's the great shepherd of our souls. The world needs to know that because God has been misrepresented. And wherever we find ourselves, we've got to represent the good shepherd and try to shepherd people, even when they don't want it. And some don't. I was on the market yesterday and I was buying some toilet rolls and some kitchen towels. And the guy who was buying it off, because when I come over this way, it's great on that market. You get all these Marks and Spencer rejects and they're dead cheap. And I noticed the guy, he was limping. And so I said to him, he was a West Indian guy. And I said to him, oh, you hurt your leg? He says, oh yeah. He says, don't ask me about it. He said, I woke up with it this morning. He said, I'm in agony with it. So I says, well, can I pray for you that Jesus will heal you? And he went, oh, no, 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 no. He said, my mother believes that stuff. He said, no, no. And I thought, you know, you'd rather be in pain than let somebody pray for you and get healed. You know, and sometimes that's how people are. But God puts us into a place where sometimes we've got to take risks because people need to know that there's a shepherd who wants to shepherd them, wants to protect them and to help them. Sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. And the shepherd, in the Middle Eastern shepherds, the shepherd is the most calming influence for the sheep. And I never realised this, but the shepherd, and Jesus alludes to this, where he says, my sheep know my voice. That the sheep got so used to the shepherd's voice that he would actually give the sheep individual names, like we would give a name to a dog or your cat or your budgie or something. The shepherd would give names to his sheep, and he would call them, and the sheep would respond to the shepherd's name. I remember years ago David Pawson saying, when he was in the Middle East, he was watching, he was on the hillside, and he watched all these shepherds come together with all the different flocks at this watering hole, and all the sheep got mixed up, and the shepherds sat down and had the lunch and everything, and when they'd finished, the shepherd would get up and he would call his sheep and start walking, and all his sheep would separate from the rest of the flock and follow him. And I thought, wow, what a powerful picture. My sheep hear my voice, know my voice, recognize my voice. I was encouraged this morning when John was saying that some of you have been doing the keys to hearing the voice of God. You know, you can get Mark Verkler's download on Kindle for 49p on these four steps to hearing the voice of God. Great stuff. You know, get stuff like that so you can begin to recognize when God is actually speaking, because he's speaking more than what we're listening, because he hears us. He knows our name. He calls us. We need to recognize his voice and to know his peace. And peace always comes with the shepherd's presence. My sheep hear my voice. And you see, the other thing about sheep as well is they have no natural defense. They've not got any claws or anything to fight off a foe. That's why they need a shepherd. And that's why the good shepherd says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They're there for my protection. They're there for us. Do you realize this morning that we've got a God who fights on our behalf, who stands on our behalf when we don't know what to do, when we're at our wit's end and we've got no natural defense against the works of the enemy? He says, I've given you a name. I've given you a name to call on. The name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, the great shepherd of our soul. You see, the Jesus makes reference in it. He says, you know, not only am I the Good Shepherd, but I'm not a hireling. He says, when the hireling sees the wolf coming, he runs away. Why? Because he's not up for the fight. Why? Because his characteristic is not of the shepherd. And you see, when you're born again, the characteristic of the shepherd comes into you. And that's why there'll be times where you'll feel the compassion when you see people in a mess. And you'll have that compassion that wants to embrace them and to help them and to lift them up, because you see the potential that God has in that individual. I love the quote that Billy Graham made a couple of years back, when he says, it's God's job to judge, the Holy Spirit's job to convict, but the church's job to love. And yet so often we've reversed that. We've been churches that have judged circumstances and situations rather than loving people with the heart of the Good Shepherd, who loves his sheep. Even the ones, I've got other sheep that are not of this pasture, but I'm going to bring them in as well. You know, people are wandering out there doing all sorts because they don't know a good shepherd. And it leaves an empty void. You know, when you know the shepherd and you see things that are shepherdless, it leaves a void. I was at a wedding yesterday. It was a civil wedding. My niece was getting married. And I said to my brother afterwards, I said, that was awful. I hated it. Because it could have been two dogs that were making the vows, if they could talk, you know. But it was horrible going through a service, a ceremony, with no reference to God or the Lord Jesus. No prayer, no commitment, no nothing, but just vows. And you see, that's how the world is, and that's why we've got to bring them back to see the benefits of what it is to know that there's a shepherd who leads and guides and watches over us. He's not a hireling. He's got a calling. He knows. It's not a job he's given, but it's his very nature. You see it. You see what is in Jesus reflected in King David when he was the shepherd boy. When he says, you know, I've rescued sheep from the paw of the bear and from the jaw of the lion. He goes after them. He's saying, you're not having my sheep. He's got a determination. And I want to challenge us and challenge myself. How determined are we to get lost sheep out of the jaws of the lion and out from under the paw of the bear? Is that determination that we're praying for them? That we're using our witness and our testimony? That we're willing to speak up on behalf of the Lord Jesus wherever we find them? There's got to be a new determination, folks, because otherwise the world is just falling apart without a knowledge of God. You know, when it comes to the end of the summer and I see in the fields around us the harvest going in, I always remember those words from Ezekiel. The summer has ended, the harvest is in, and we are still not saved. And there's an ache there. God, I want to see more salvations. I want to see people coming in and knowing what it is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. David knew that in his own heart. He carried on that, what he'd learned in the field in rescuing people. He carried it on when he faced the giant and said, the Lord who has delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver you into my hands. Because he knew the one who was fighting for him. Because he was powerless of himself. He was going to lead and feed the sheep, bring them to still waters and green pastures. Because he cares for the people. Do you know the Lord cares more for you and for your future than what you realise? We've been singing about it this morning. But he's got plans for each one of us. Why? Because he's a good shepherd. He wants you to hear his voice. But we've got to train ourselves to hear his voice. To recognise his voice in all the midst of it. And you know, for all of us, that's a difficult thing to still ourselves. Because there's always something to do. We live with the curse of the mobile phone, where we've always got to be checking if there's a text, an email, or a Facebook. I don't have to check Facebook because, praise God, I've never joined it. But I see the obsession with people. On Steve Wright in the afternoon the other week, he was saying that on average, people check the phones. It was something like, you know, 35 times in every hour. There's this obsession. Folks, there's nothing that important that can't wait. Right? Just leave it alone. Right? I may have told you this before, but once I really felt the Lord speak to me on it, because I found myself developing this habit that I was checking if there was messages and looking at stuff. And I just felt the Lord say, why don't you check with me before you check with Google? And I thought, yeah, Lord, you've got a sense of humour there. Don't Google it, God it. Ask him, because he's the good shepherd. You see, a shepherd has knowledge. Jesus knew just what to say and to do with the people that he spoke to. That's why he changes so often with what he's saying, depending on where he is. And we need to be people who are the same. When you don't know what to say, just ask God. God, give me the words. Give me the inspiration. Give me the direction that I need at this time. And God will bring it in. Why? Because he's the shepherd who speaks to his sheep. The shepherd has knowledge. And knowledge for you and me comes through intimacy. Right? We've got to get more intimate with God. You know, I've really felt that in my own walk with the Lord. This challenge to spend more time with him, to get into his presence, to almost to hear his heartbeat. Not coming in for the things that I want or my requests, but simply coming in to know him. The Apostle Paul says, I want to know him. Right? It wasn't, I want to know about him. I just want to know him. And you know, the great thing is that when you press into that place, just to spend time with him in worship and adoration, the fragrance of the shepherd comes upon you. And there's a peace that hits you that when you then face the wolves and that are all around, you've got a greater calmness because you've been in the presence of the great shepherd. Jesus never panicked. And he wants his church to know things. And knowing, I believe that's why, you know, God puts us on a journey of knowing things through dreams and visions, supernatural wisdom, what to do and what to say. Understanding. The Bible says that the men of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They had an understanding. And yet, so often we're on a ball of confusion and we don't know what to do. And I believe that the church should be giving the lead, because we're pastoring the people that are around us. People live in fear and under deception. So how do they know what to do if we don't tell them? We can show them the best way, because we're under the influence of the great shepherd. One of my favourite verses is that what Jesus says later on in John's Gospel. I will not leave you as orphans. You see, he's not going to leave us as straddling sheep. But I'm going to send the Comforter. Pentecost Sunday, he says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to come upon you. He will not only be with you, he will be in you. Why? Because he's not left us to our own devices. Aren't you glad about that? Hey, God has not just left us, you know, well, you put your hand up, you've made a commitment, now get on with it. He says, no, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and he will not only be with you, he'll be in you, and he'll be like me. He's going to be just like me, but he's going to be in you, and he will lead you, he will guide you in all truth. And the job that I've got is to override my intellect and to tune into what the Spirit says. Say, what's going on, Lord? Lead me. And direct me. Help me. And he'll be there. And he does that. So that we can be the shepherds of the people that are around us. And the shepherd has skills. They need skill. We need to learn them. We need to build our skill profile up, as it were. David learned in the field. You know, he didn't become a giant slayer overnight. But he learned in the field with his sling. He learned how to take out bears. You know, maybe he put a few tin cans on rocks and target practiced at them. Until it was time when he saw the bear coming and he could take it on. Until he became skillful in it. And then he was able to take the giant down. We've got to learn skills to deal with society. The other day I was at a meeting and the people, the head guy, John Kirkby from Christians Against Poverty was speaking, but he was speaking about some of the projects that they've now set up, and he was saying things like, you know, that their debt agencies are the most successful in the country. They beat government debt agencies, by miles. They've got more success than anything else, and they've set these other things up where there's like 6-week courses that people can be invited on. And he was saying that so that people can learn life skills. And he was saying that people don't know the basics. He says people don't know how to shop. He says, so we've been teaching people how to shop. We've been teaching people how to cook. I watched a program with my daughter some months ago. And this woman was buying McLean's chips. And they were coming in and saying, do you realise you're spending over the course of the year £450 on oven chips? And she was saying, never. And they were saying, that's what you're spending. So they're showing her how to make oven chips. And she said, I've never made. She'd got a family of four kids. And she'd never cooked stuff, so they're showing her how to do it. Folks, people don't get, this is only for the over 40s now, they don't get domestic science in school anymore. Remember those days, eh? You see, and I believe that the church has got a job, not just to preach the gospel, but to teach people life skills that they don't know. They don't know how to care for themselves. They don't know what's right and wrong. And what the vacuum that's there, I believe, is something that the church can step into. And when I heard him, he mentioned three different projects, but it was the life skills one that really sort of resonated with me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to look into that a little bit more. And see if in the area where we are, that we can actually open it up for people to come in and to learn about things. And hopefully come to know the Lord. You see, we've got to do things because Lifelong learning is the journey that we're on, and it's the secret to happiness when we keep on learning. We've got to ask questions of how, why, and when. And don't count ourselves out of saying, oh, I couldn't do something. We can all do something. I had a friend, she's now with the Lord, and she wasn't well, she was riddled in pain, she was in a nursing home in Milne Row. And not long before she died, went to visit her. And she was there, and she said, in the nursing home, she says, there's some nasty people, you know, get out of that, that's my chair, you know, they're territorial, just like sheep, you see. And she said, and I really got irritated in my spirit with the way that there was this nastiness. She says, and I felt the Lord challenge me. She says, so one day, she says, I had a word with the matron, she says, and one day, now Kathleen was in her early 90s, and she says, so one day, I said to the matron, can I do a little service one afternoon? And the matron said, yes. So after breakfast, she says, excuse me, everybody, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, when you've had lunch, I'm going to do a little service on the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to sing a few hymns, and I'm going to talk to you. So if you'd like to come, we'll be in the lounge. She says, well, they all came in the lounge. And so there's little old Kathleen, sat there with a stick, and she leads them into some hymns, and then she gives a testimony, and then she talks about the Lord's Prayer and about he's a good father because he's a good shepherd and he wants to look after you and help you. And she said, and at the end of it, she says, I gave an invitation and offered to pray, and she says, all these old dears put their hand up and prayed the prayer after me out loud. She said, the amazing thing, Paul, was, she says, two of the most cantankerous old ladies became the best of friends. She says, and a week later, one of them died and went to glory with the Lord. She was knocking on heaven's door. 90-odd, and yet riddled with pain, not well, and yet she didn't count herself out from passing on the Good Shepherd. And she said it was amazing afterwards to see the peace in the nursing home that had come, that people weren't nasty like they did. Folks, God looks at you and me and says, will you take the chance? Will you do something? You see? Because people need help. You see, sheep can't right themselves. See, when a sheep's got too much wool and it falls over, it can't get back up. It needs a shepherd to lift it up and to shear it of its wool. Otherwise, it will be at the mercy of the birds that will come and peck its eyes out. Too much wool, if it falls into water, will drown it. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what are you carrying that's drowning you? Do you need the Good Shepherd to come in and shear a few things off? Because he's gentle with it. He's not going to pull your hair out. He's going to gently shear you so that you can become the person that he wants you to be. He's the Good Shepherd who cares for you. He's got skill. And that's what's needed today in the world that we live in. David finishes off and says in Psalm 23, he says, you know, he leads me by still waters, the Good Shepherd. When a sheep most peaceful, why can they lie down and rest when they're full, when they've had enough of good grass, when there's no fear around them? I think we sing that this morning. You deliver me from my fears, right, in your perfect love. When the content, when the flies and the fleas have been dealt with. That's why sheep need ointment on their eyes to stop the bugs getting in and laying their eggs that will then eat them away. And when there's harmony. See, that's why we need a good shepherd. And there's times when we can move away from the flock and not live as he wants. But the Good Shepherd comes after us to bring us back, because he says, I'm the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep. There's nothing about you or me that surprises him, because he knows us. And you know what? Even though he knows the dark secrets, he's not changed his mind about you. He still says, you're my sheep and I'm your shepherd. Will you let me lead you? Maybe you need leading to the right job.
to the right house, to the right situation. Then, rather than trying to make up your mind yourself, why not look to the Good Shepherd and say, Lord, which way do you want to lead me? Because the Good Shepherd's ways are always the best. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this day that you've not just given us a shepherd, but you've given us a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. And we thank you, Father, that you always have the best interests of your people at heart. We thank you for your rod and your staff. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that if any are living in fear of circumstances or situations that are before them, that they would know the peace that comes from the presence of the shepherd. That regardless of how big the lion or the wolf or the bear is, that you are more than sufficient to see off the enemy of our souls and to bring in your peace. And I pray, Father, that we would know your leading and direction, and that you would, by your Holy Spirit, spiritually shringe our ears and surprise us by the voice of God, that we would hear your voice, that we would know, as your word says in Isaiah, we would know that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it, because you are the Good Shepherd. Attune our ears to hear your voice, because you have said in your word that my sheep hear my voice. And Lord, we say that in the world that we live in, we want to hear your voice more than anything else, because you're the Good Shepherd. And for that we thank you, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Paul.